How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, he is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled?
Hello and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm glad you tuned in our broadcast again this week. We're picking up our study here in John chapter 19, John chapter 19, verse number 38. Here the Lord Jesus has been crucified. Many scriptures and things that he has said about his crucifixion and what he came to do has been fulfilled. It's been fulfilled that not a bone of him would be broken, and the soldiers pierced his side with the spear and blood and water came out. John the apostle, as he writes here this Gospel of John, declares that I saw it and my record is true, my account of it, my recording of it is true, that you might believe that Jesus did die, and it was fulfilled that not a bone of him would be broken, and that he would be looked upon, they shall look on him whom they pierced. And so those things were fulfilled. The Lord Jesus has died, and now he's been, in that sense, taken away from his disciples physically. Verse number 38. After this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came, therefore, and took the body of Jesus. And they came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. And so these two men that were in the Sanhedrin, they were of the leadership of the Jews, Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea. Joseph is so bold, and he's a good man and a just man, the scripture says, and he inquires of Pilate, I want his body. I don't want his body to be taken off that cross and thrown in the ditch. You know, there are those that say that Jesus never rose from the dead, that like many others that were crucified there on Calvary outside of Jerusalem, that his body was taken down, thrown in the ditch, and it was eaten by dogs. But no, that's not true. That's not true. Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of the Lord, being a follower of the Lord, being saved by the Lord, he wanted the Lord to have a proper burial. He didn't necessarily understand everything that was going on, but he knew the Lord Jesus was special. He was special to him, and he was his Savior, and he spared no expense and no risk. Do you not understand that these men, being Jews, even being leadership among the Jews, they took great risk in coming at a dead body at this time of the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread? They coming near and touching a dead body would cause them to be defiled, but they don't care. They know that the Lord Jesus is above those things and that he is the answer to all those things contained in the law. The scripture says in the other gospels that when the Lord Jesus Christ yielded up the ghost, that the veil of the temple was rent in two from the top to the bottom. Judaism is put out of business. The old sacrificial and ceremonial law has been completed in Christ. The Lord Jesus has completed every whit of it. And he is the answer to it all. He is that which to which those things have pointed to for centuries and even millennia. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior. He is the answer. He is the Word. And so Joseph of Arimathea and then Nicodemus, they come and they take down the body. Nicodemus, who had come to the Lord Jesus by night, that we see that account in John chapter 3 that we looked at some time ago, he asked the question to the Lord Jesus, who are you and what are you doing? We know you've got to be from God somehow, because no one could do the things that you're doing without God being with you. And the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to him of being born again. Sinner, you do need to be born again. You need to be birthed of God. And Nicodemus had a hard time understanding those things, but it is so very much true. We need to be born again. We who are saved have been born again. And the Lord Jesus then spoke to him of that which we looked at and considered last time and the time before. Nicodemus not understanding about being born again, not understanding about being born of the Son of God. And so the Lord Jesus kind of shifts gears with him there in John chapter 3 and says unto him, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so even must the Son of Man be lifted up. He preaches unto him himself being crucified for his sins. Do you believe that Jesus Christ was crucified for your sins? I do. And the Lord has saved me. The Lord has saved my soul. I know he died for me, and I know he was buried for me, and that he rose again for me, because I'm the sinner that needed it. I'm guilty. I'm guilty before God. The Lord has shown me that and revealed that unto me. Not that others are more guilty than me. Not that I found another sinner out there that's worse than me. But I'm the sinner condemned. And I'm the sinner that needed a Savior. And that Jesus Christ died for me personally that day. Do you believe that, sinner? Are you guilty before God? Have you confessed before God that you're guilty of sin? You deserve death. You deserve eternity in the lake of fire. And in hell, in the lake of fire. That's what I deserved. I deserved to go to hell. I was guilty before God. I was wretched and undone. And he showed that to me and showed me my great need. But he didn't leave me there. He showed me Jesus Christ, that Jesus died for my sins, and that he was buried, and that he rose again from the dead for me. For me, because I needed it. Jesus didn't need to do that for himself, but he did that for me. And oh, I pray, sinner, that you'll see that you need such a Savior. These two men, they love their Lord, and they spare no expense. 100 pounds of anything is going to cost you something. And they brought here the mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100-pound weight. I mean, they spared no expense. They wanted to do well by their Lord. They bought linen, fine linen that had never been used for anything else. And they brought that and those spices, and they came to prepare quickly the body of our Lord for burial, before the next day, before 6 p.m. or sunset in that day. And it says in verse 40, then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with spices, and as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulcher wherein was never man yet laid. There was a sepulcher very near. There was a garden very near where the Lord Jesus, and that sepulcher belonged to Joseph of Arimathea. And so Joseph even gave up the sepulcher that he had. He gave it up for the burial of the Lord Jesus Christ. A new sepulcher. No one had ever been buried in that sepulcher. Now in the place where he was crucified, verse 41, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulcher wherein was never man yet laid. The Lord is laid there by Joseph and by Nicodemus. There they laid Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day. It was close. It was easiest for them to do that because they were coming on at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and the sepulcher was nigh at hand. It says there that sepulcher was a sepulcher that was there amongst the rich. The Lord Jesus, it was prophesied that he would have his burial among the rich. He would be there crucified among the guilty, and then he would be buried there among the wealthy. Oh, the prophecy of the Lord, it's all been fulfilled, or being fulfilled, or will be fulfilled. There's not been one prophecy that the Lord has given that has yet failed. and those that are yet to come to pass, they will not fail. Oh, sinner, you can believe in him. He's trustable. He's reliable. He's more trustable and more reliable than any that is upon this earth. Any way of man, any thought of man, any philosophy of man, the Lord Jesus indeed can be trusted. He can be believed in. He can be rested upon. He will save sinners that come unto him in repentance and faith. We point you to him. And then in chapter 20, we see here a coming, fast forwarding to Saturday afternoon. Remember, the Jews, the order of the day is that it starts at 6 p.m. in the evening. We're used to days starting at midnight according to the Roman system. But here, the day is starting in the evening. And so we're approaching the time or past the time of the end of the Sabbath day, 6 p.m. on Saturday, as we would refer to it, 6 p.m. on Saturday. And we see this in chapter 20. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulcher, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulcher. And so now this is yet Sunday morning, okay? It didn't come at dark on the previous day, but is coming early, yet dark, but Sunday morning. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter. Let's back up. Then the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulcher, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulcher. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. And they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went not in. John did not. Then cometh Simon Peter, following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. So Mary Magdalene comes, and she gives a report that the stone has been rolled away, and sees that the sepulcher is open, and so she runs back to the company and comes to Simon and to John, and said, "They've taken away the Lord out of the sepulcher," and as they thought that maybe someone had robbed the body. They didn't know. They didn't understand. They didn't believe those things that the Lord said unto him. Mary is coming there with other spices to anoint the Lord's body, and such as that. And Peter went forth and with John, and they came to the sepulchre. John gets there first, but doesn't go in. Peter goes on in, sees about the linen clothes, and then John steps in there and sees that the linen clothes are there, and the napkin is folded off in a place by itself. And John says he believes. He understands more about the resurrection of the Lord. And it says here, for that as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. They had heard it, and they had heard the Lord say it, but they did not believe it. They did not get it. They did not put it together. Then the disciples went away again to their own home, and so they go back. But Mary stood without, verse 11, at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, so she having not gone in, but looking in there, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. So the Peter and John, they see that the Lord, his body is not there, and they don't understand completely about his resurrection. They don't understand that scripture yet, but they're seeing these things unfold, and they go back, and here Mary sees the two angels, and they speak to her about the resurrection of the Lord. Well, I see that our time has passed for now. May the Lord bless you with his word and his truth. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn onto State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you will find our church house on the right, just beside Whippoorwill Creek. We're interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next Sunday at this same time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.